I believe. Well, you know, that higher power speaks to me often, and sometimes it's just an idea that keeps popping into my head. That happened to me as I was thinking about this talk this week, and it sort of rattles around for several days. Well, a song kept popping in, and it was, I could remember like the first two lines that were, "No man is an island, no man stands alone." I could see some lips moving. You know, I kept thinking, what is that song? So, like I do with almost everything, I Googled it. You know, what is that? So I put lyrics, you know, "No man is an island." And it came back with one of the people who sang that actually was Joan Baez. This was when I was in high school. I realized why I knew that song. I was in an organization called Y Teens, which was an affiliate or out of YWCA. And I'm pretty sure, now memory is kind of tricky, but I'm pretty sure that that's the song we sang at every meeting, you know, which is probably why it's stuck in there. Well, when the words came out, I won't read all of them, but these first two verses, I guess, or stanzas, "No man is an island, no man stands alone. Each man's joy is joy to me, each man's grief is my own. We need one another, so I will defend each man as my brother, each man as my friend." Beautiful, right? What a wonderful values kind of thing, you know, to be passing on to young women, you know? Because it was YWCA, Young Women's Christian Association. I looked on their website, just kind of an interesting thing, and they don't say what it stands for anymore. I think that's, or at least it's not spelled out. It's got YWCA, but it doesn't have, you know, the what the words are. But but that is a very Christian idea. It speaks to the oneness, you know, our unity. Each man's joy is mine, and each man's grief is my, you know, it's beautiful, just beautiful. That is, in fact, what Jesus taught. That's very Christian. A couple of passages came to mind as I thought about that message from that song. I'd like to share these with you. You can find many examples of what Jesus was teaching, but this one first came to mind. This is in Matthew 25. And this is talking about when Jesus comes back, returns. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food? Or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.'" A beautiful example of oneness. We are to help each other. We are to feed each other. We are to support each other. It's pretty clear. And then if you want even more clarity in what we're supposed to do, there's just a summary. I think this is one of the, if not the foundational teaching of Jesus. This one is in several of the Gospels, but this version of it is in John 13. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Well, that seems pretty clear to me. Jesus isn't saying, love those people who look like me. Jesus isn't saying, love those people who are in my neighborhood, or who work at my building, or live in my country, or any of those things. Love one another. There you are. That's what it says. How do we do that? Sometimes it's not so easy. There's another song that popped in my head, and I have learned to listen when these things come in. There's another one that came up, and it was another one from the 60s, I Am a Rock by Simon and Garfunkel. Yeah. And the lyrics of this, you know, it's just kind of dark. It's kind of heavy. You know how it is when you're a teenager? I don't know if you remember, but I remember just everything being so dramatic. You know, if you know, your boyfriend didn't call you, or he broke up with you, oh, you know, it was the end of the world. And so maybe this is like that. But there are life events that make you feel like this song. It starts out, if you're not familiar with it, a winter's day in a deep and dark December. I am alone, gazing from my window to the streets below, on a freshly fallen, silent shroud of snow. Shroud has to do with death, you know. And it goes on, and it says, I'm a rock, I am an island. I've built walls, a fortress steep and mighty. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. I am a rock, I am an island. Don't talk of love. If I never loved, I never would have cried. I am a rock, I am an island. I have my books and my poetry to protect me. I am shielded in my armor, hiding in my room, safe within my womb. I love this verse. I touch no one and no one touches me. I am a rock, I am an island. And a rock feels no pain, and an island never cries. It just makes you want to just... You know, I mean, it appealed to the teenage Sharon, and it still makes me go, oh, golly, it's just so sad, you know. But don't we feel that way? Don't we feel that way when someone hurts our feelings? You know? The natural reaction is to step back, to pull in, to say, well, I'm not being vulnerable anymore. I'm not going to let that happen again. That hurts too much. Well, Jesus said we're to love everybody. So if I love some, if I'm loving, how is it I'm going to open myself? Well, I found an inspiration. And hence the title of the talk, Flying in Formation. Have you ever heard the phrase, silly as a goose, or one of, you know, I'm not so sure that's a valid statement. It's not silly as a goose. They are actually pretty smart birds. I had heard something about the flying in formation, and I did some, you know, Googling again, and I have a little article. Well, it's pretty impressive. We can learn a lot from geese. Fact number one. As each goose flaps its wings, it creates uplift for the birds. By flying in a V formation, the whole flock, listen to this, the whole flock adds 71% greater flying range than if each bird flew alone. Now, we've all seen geese flying over, right? Well, first, you hear them. because they honk, you know, they're just honking across. If they flew silently, we may not notice them quite as much, but we all know and remember geese flying over because they are honking. And you look up, and there's this bunch of birds, this flock, and they're all in a V. That's why. Who knew? And they are migrating. They're going, either they're going north or they're going south, and they have a destination in mind, and they're going to get there a lot faster because they're in formation. What's the takeaway for us? People who share a common direction and sense of community can get where they are going quicker and easier because they are traveling on the thrust of one another. Well, you know what occurred to me? We are the V. This is a community, and we come together each week because we are all intending to grow spiritually. We are all on the same path. We all are wanting to get to the same place. So if we can consider this our V formation, and we'll have greater flying range than if we do it on our own. Fact number two. When a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and resistance of flying alone. It then quickly moves back into formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the bird immediately in front of it. Now, I have seen that, you know, on the ground too. If you've ever been pretty close to a tractor trailer on the highway, there is a kind of a pulling. You notice, I'm told, that you notice it way more, and you have to be aware of it if you're on a motorcycle, you know, because it can really just suck you along. So there is that power, you know, of following along. And for me, I've noticed that back before I was a minister, but if I missed a Sunday or two, even more, I really miss it. You know, I feel like I'm not getting, it's almost like food, you know, I feel I need something. You feel the drag and the resistance. So life gets more difficult, more challenging, I think. It's nice to come here and kind of get batteries charged and refuel. The lesson that goes along with that fact says, if we have as much sense as a goose, we will stay in formation with those headed where we want to go. We will be willing to accept their help and give our help to others. So we do. We come here to be helped, to be supported. Fact number three. When the lead goose tires, it rotates back into formation and another goose flies to the point position. You know, I never even thought about the lead goose when I would see the, just really didn't think much about it, but it makes sense. It would be exhausting. That bird is the one who is getting all of the resistance, and it is helping to create that uplift for the rest of the bird. So it seems reasonable that, yes, it would be tiring pretty quickly. And it does get tired, and it flows back in, and somebody else steps up. What about us here? The takeaway is it pays to take turns doing the hard tasks and sharing leadership. We are interdependent on each other. This community attracted me, I think, because one of the reasons was because so many people are involved. There are so many people who are willing to give of themselves and their time and resources. This community is doing that in spades, you know. We have the hospitality team, we have the grounds team, we have the prayer chaplains, we have all of these, and there are many others that I haven't mentioned. People here are stepping up. They are participating and taking a part in the leadership, which is a great thing. Unity is a denomination that I think is pretty uncharacteristically not terribly hierarchical. It's Charles Fillmore called us truth students. You know, so we come together as community so that we can all learn and grow together. There isn't like, I mean, yes, I am your spiritual leader, but it takes all of us. So it's a more flattened kind of organization. We all are necessary. Fact number four. I like this one. The geese flying in formation honk to encourage those up front to keep up their speed. And they do, they honk. Wait, you know, we've already mentioned that's how you know they're honking as they go across. And I didn't know why they honked, but it's to encourage. It's another source said something about that they're able to maintain a steadier speed by that honking. You know, they're all, here I am, you know, keep going, all is well. Just, they're all honking. Now, what can we take away from that? We need to make sure our honking is encouraging.
Oh, yes.
For real, because what makes this community so wonderful to come to, one of the reasons is it is very loving and very supportive and warm and welcoming. I can't tell you how many people I have talked to that say, I just feel a great peace when I come in this place. If we were critical, if we were honking in a non-supportive way when people walk through those doors, do you think they come back? No, not at all. Not at all. It says, in groups where there is encouragement, the production is much greater. These goals that we have as a community, our formation, will be met much more quickly as we support and encourage each other. And the fifth and final fact that so impresses me gets back to what Jesus is teaching, I think is, fact number five, when a goose is sick, gets sick or wounded or gets shot, two other geese drop out of formation and follow it down to the ground to help it and to protect it. And they stay with that bird until it either dies or it's able to fly again. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Still gives me goosebumps when I... That's beautiful, isn't it? And then, whenever, you know, whichever the outcome is, then they launch out in another formation or they catch up with their flock. I think that's beautiful. I think it's just beautiful. And it speaks volumes about no man is an island. And the lesson from that fifth one, it says, if we have as much sense as geese, we will stand by each other in difficult times as well as when we are strong. So as I think about this community, as I think about these songs, as I think about why we come together in the first place, we come together to more thoroughly follow Jesus' teachings, to more completely express the Christ in us. It seems to me that if we do that together, and as we do that together, that we are much more able as a group collectively to be able to achieve that as we fly in formation. Let's take an opportunity now to practice our oneness with the presence. So if you will, allow yourself to begin to relax. Gently close your outer eyes if you haven't already. We still ourselves in mind and body. And as we begin with the body, we consciously and purposely relax all parts of our body, starting with the crown of our heads, all the way down our shoulders, our trunks, hips, legs, feet. Purposely relax and let go. We allow our seat to fully and completely support us. We use that as a symbol almost of letting go and trusting spirit. We release our bodies. And then our minds Our minds like to keep going, and they do keep going. But as our bodies begin to slow down and relax, become still, we can then choose to put our focus, our attention, our mind, if you will, on something else to keep it occupied. And so we put that attention on our breathing, on the breath. Just focus on the breath coming in, the pause, and the breath going out. Our bodies are relaxed. Our breathing is slowed and deepened. So we pay attention as we breathe deeply and slowly, noticing how our bodies feel as we breathe and relax. And we can feel the stillness. The silence that is not uncomfortable. The silence that is comforting and renewing. It is when we become still that we have a chance to allow all of the outer, all of the worries and the concerns, all of the striving to melt away. In the silence, we can feel open, trusting, willing. We know, in fact, that we were created in the image and likeness of our Creator. We know that that means that we were created in love, with love, and as love. We know that we were created as peace. We know that we were created as joy. And so it is in the silence that we are able to be in the presence of the divinity within, in the awareness of these natural qualities of us. We can enjoy right now, we can enjoy the peace, the deep and abiding peace that has nothing to do with the outer, and has everything to do with the silence. We can feel and experience love. The love that we are. And that love melts away and dissolves negative emotions, fear, anger, jealousy. Love is stronger than all of that. And as we sit in silence and allow that love to grow and expand within us and out from us, we find ourselves calmer, more peaceful, more loving in our daily lives. And in the silence, we feel joy. When we feel safe, when we feel connected at one, joy bubbles up as a natural expression of of our true selves. It is such a delight to realize that we are alive, that we are creations of the universe, we are children of God. We are joy-filled when we realize that we are love and light in expression. And as we do each week, we take time to be silent, to sit in the silence and feel peace and feel love and feel joy. And we do that now in the silence. We find these times of silence renewing, re-energizing. We find ourselves calm, feeling peace, being loving. And so, as we begin to bring ourselves back into this room, we intend and purposely bring with us all of this beauty and wonder that comes from our oneness with our Creator, our time spent in silence. We are grateful, grateful for the awareness, grateful for that love that is us. Grateful for all of our blessings. And so in love and in gratitude, we complete our time together by saying our Lord's Prayer.